Welcome to the Teacher Nerds Podcast. Joe and Ron are self-proclaimed teacher nerds, geeking out on all things education. They are looking to move educational practices out of the 1900s factory worker model to a student-driven classroom full of empathetic, creative, and collaborative students willing to take risks. Join them as they chat with educators from around the world, discussing educational tools, techniques, ideas, policies, and much more. Thank you for listening and becoming one of the Teacher Nerds. And now a word from a sponsor. On this episode of the Teacher Nerds Podcast, Joe and Ron chat with Jamie Donnelly, founder of ARVRinEDU.com. Jamie is the author of numerous articles about AR and VR, as well as the author of two books, Learning Transported, Augmented, Virtual, and Mixed Reality for All Classrooms, and The Immersive Classroom, Create Customized Learning Experiences with ARVR. Follow the hashtags ARVRinEDU and 31 Days of ARVR and EDU for amazing AR, VR, and mixed reality information from Jamie. Buckle up and get ready to learn with Jamie Donnelly. And now, let's get into the show.
Have you heard about the nerds? What's the word? Teaching nerds. You can tweet them out on Twitter, you can find them on the gram. After listening to their podcast, you'd be sitting there like, bam! Trying to take the teaching from one level to the next. Reaching up to Canada and down to Mexico. Gotta go. Teaching nerds. Start the show.
Welcome back to the Teacher Nerds Podcast. I'm Ron Nober.
And I'm Joe DiPaolo.
I am a technology teacher for third grade to eighth grade.
And this year I'll be starting to teach fifth grade.
And today we have Jamie Donnelly joining us from Texas. Jamie, welcome.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, so we're going to get to learn all about AR and VR, which super excited about. And I think Joe, for teaching fifth grade science, could be a pretty amazing thing for you as well.
I'm ready to take some notes.
All right. So, and Jamie is a returning guest. She was on before when we were talking about cybersecurity in schools. So we're glad to have you back.
Thank you. I'm glad to be back. You guys are a fun group.
Well, thank you. All right. So we're going to start our show. We always do like a little icebreaker, and it's this or that. And a lot of our icebreakers revolve around food. So we're doing this or that, soft serve ice cream or hand dipped ice cream.
Oh, that we're playing this, oh, that playing this, or that on the Teacher Nerds Podcast show. Oh, that is it this, oh, that is it this, or that on the Teacher Nerds Podcast
show. So, Joe, I know you have a strong, passionate stance on this. So
I do, Ron. I do.
Why don't you go first, and then we'll let Jamie go, and I'll bring us up.
So my favorite, hands down, is definitely the soft serve. And if I'm getting soft serve, it's chocolate soft serve with Jimmy's.
And they are Jimmy's, correct? Not sprinkles?
Jimmy's, not sprinkles. And, you know, that's what I was thinking. Like, that could be a whole nother this or that. Are you into Jimmy's? Are you into sprinkles? But it would definitely be chocolate soft serve, chocolate sprinkles. To me, it's not even a question.
Very nice. Very nice. Jamie, what about you?
You know, it's funny about the Jimmy's. I didn't even know what that was until I was with Kathy Krasnowski, who told me that in Philly. So she was like, we went to some special ice cream place and she was like, oh, these are Jimmy's. And I'm like, what are you talking about? So we call sprinkles, you know? So I don't know what you mean by hand dipped, unless it's like it gets hardened and like it.
Yeah. Coats. So you have to take it out with a scooper, you know, with ice cream.
Okay. Yeah. I'm thinking like the dipped cone that they have.
Oh, yeah.
Chocolate salt, hard, yeah. Crust. That makes sense, actually. Yeah. I would probably say hand dipped. That would probably be my preference, typically because it's better quality than the soft serve. Like you typically have like certain ingredients mixed in, or I don't know, soft serve is like bottom of the barrel kind of ice cream. Like,
no way.
I have to give you to satisfy the customer's craving here. It's all free. You can have unlimited. This is what you get to go to, but this is our cheapest alternative to ice cream. That's, I don't know. That's my opinion about, sorry.
Don't they have cows in Texas? You're getting fresh milk.
Yeah, they don't do that.
Cows in Texas are just for beef.
Definitely.
Man.
Oh, that was some harsh soft serve.
I've never heard soft serve referred to like as bottom of the barrel ice cream.
I mean, I don't know. You go to certain places and it's like unlimited free. You can go Jason's Deli. They're like, oh, have whatever you want, order whatever you want. And you don't even have to pay for the ice cream. Like,
listen, I'm done.
Like when you don't have to pay for it, that's generally not quality ice cream.
I'm kidding.
Joe doesn't even have anything to say.
Just that I am never going to eat ice cream in Texas because I am not a hand dipped guy.
Oh, Jamie, I'm 100% with you. Hand dip, like you can
mass produce it. It's mass produced.
Well, you can get all the, and it's not because you can get those like they're specialty hand dipped like. Ben and Jerry's, Haagen-Dazs, they're all hand dipped. You're not squirting those out of a machine. Like they're hand dipped, and the quality of ingredients that you can put in. You have to pay for it. Right. Like, you know, it's not all you can eat free hand dipped. Like, you know, hand dipped, you even have to pay per scoop.
Yes.
Not even is it not all you can eat, but each scoop is costing you more.
That's the retail aspect of it. They want you to go hand dip. You know what? I'm going to see which is healthier. This is my next research.
Because the soft serve is completely chemical, so there's no fat. There's no,
it's not chemical.
It's
like skim milk and water and ice. Like they frost it and
hold on. What am I? Now I'm all confused. I'm flustered.
I will say we have Bluebell down here in Texas. That's the popular ice cream. Have you guys ever heard of Bluebell?
No,
heard of Blue Bonnet.
Yeah, and Blue Bunny.
It is Blue Bonnet.
Okay,
Blue Bunny. Now I'm confused. That part out of the podcast.
No. See, you know what? Your credibility level as a preferred has just dropped to the bottom of the barrel.
I agree. I know nothing.
Well, so, my day is now shot because I'm going to be researching this topic.
This is it. Joe's day for the rest of the day is researching soft serve.
Good thing no one's home.
I will say you can't get variety in the soft serve. It's like chocolate or vanilla.
But what else besides chocolate? What else is there? I don't understand all these crazy.
That's the core of your argument right there. That is the problem we're finding. Is that you're okay with just chocolate or just vanilla or swirl?
No. Chocolate and chocolate sprinkles. I mean, I'm all chocolate and chocolate.
I will say White Dot is a dairy place down by us. And it's been around since 1950s. And they have soft serve. You'll go in and they have blueberry soft serve. They have strawberry soft serve. They have orange creamsicle. Like they do have a variety of soft serves, but still.
Hey, are they free?
if they're not, they should be.
Oh, you're kidding me. That's ugh. Delicious.
All right. So enough beating up Joe for soft serve.
Man, let's move on, shall we?
We're going to pause for a second to take a little break, but we'll be back in a moment. Would you like to hear your educational book, platform, or program advertised in this spot? With the Teacher Nerd sponsorship program, that could happen. You can be featured on the show and help us continue to bring great content to the podcast. We offer three levels of sponsorship, including commercials voiced and produced by one of the Teacher Nerds, as well as links listed on our sponsor's webpage. Visit teachernerds.com/sponsorship to check out some sample commercials and more information. And remember, that's nerds with a Z. And now back to the show.
So, Jamie, you're a returning guest. So can you just remind everybody, you know, what your role is in education at this point?
Yeah, no, I was in the classroom. So I taught math really preschool through eighth grade at different levels, different kind of campuses, public school, private school, you know, engagement type activities using math. So it, you know, it was my passion to work with kids. So math just happened to be the avenue of which I got in there. But, you know, connecting with them, mentorship. I started off as a coach initially and then moved into the teaching realm. As I got a little bit older, my kids got a little bit older because, you know, it was hard when they were little. You were just, you know, it's hard to maintain a work balance with littles. But then I had an opportunity to move into instructional technology in my district. And that was, I think that was, again, another passion of bringing in technology, but again, just an avenue to connect with people. So instead of it being younger people like students, I was connecting with older people as teachers. And it was just one of those things that have always, you know, maintained my interest. It's always changing. It's exciting. I'm always thrilled to see how we can use technology in education. And in that process, became familiar with augmented and virtual reality and just started this whirlwind of amazing, awesome resources that I just can't get enough of. So in that process, I've worked for different companies, worked as a consultant for with companies. And one of the companies I was last a consultant with actually hired me part of their marketing team. And so working with them was really a guidance of how to speak education, how, what are the needs in education? How do we make sure we're meeting those needs? How is the voice of the educator in their product? So all of those really important factors. Cybersecurity is a big piece of it, but it is just one piece of what they offer. And, you know, what I do on the AR/VR side really does hinge on some of the things that are required to have your ecosystem secured. So using a product like Identity Automation, having the Rapid Identity product in schools allow you to be able to move into these types of tools safely, easily connected across across all of your ecosystem. So yeah, that's my background.
Awesome. So you mentioned AR and VR. And
yeah.
You know, everybody I think has heard AR and VR, have heard augmented reality and virtual reality. What's the difference?
So augmented reality is looking through a lens. So that could be glasses, that could be your camera on your phone, it could be a tablet view, it could be through contact lenses in the future, right? So looking through a lens and seeing something, this illusion appear in your space. So you're seeing everything in your real world, you're looking around, seeing your floors, seeing your walls, seeing your desk, but now you have this tiger appear on your desk. And obviously the tiger is not real, it's there, you can miniaturize it, you can make it massive, big. And then you're bringing in this experience of augmented reality by seeing this illusion in your real space. So it can interact in your space, it can be affected by your space. You can then go in and interact with that item in your space as if it's real. Virtual reality on the other side is being completely immersed in a digital experience all around you. So whether you look forward, backwards, up or down, you are seeing this digital experience. Now, most people connect that back to a headset and saying VR is, you know, being in a headset and seeing all these things, which absolutely is part of VR. And no doubt that is the most immersive way as of today. However, I really recommend also opportunities to do VR on computers, through tablets, through our mobile devices, that allow us to see this 360 experience, not necessarily on our face, but still being able to click around, drag around, look around, and still have a 360 experience in that way.
So I guess like I've seen on like Amazon or Walmart, it'll say, see this product in your home.
Mm-hmm.
That's like an AR experience, right?
Yeah, that's a great
picture and it shows you this desk and what it would look like in that corner of your house.
Yeah, actually I did that. So I bought this little table at the entrance of where my door is. And what we did is we were checking to see if the colors match the color of the walls, like what that would look like in comparison, as well as the dimensions of that table and how it would fit in the space that we had. Those are great examples. Years ago, when Amazon first did this, I was checking out different seating inside of our patio area. So what actually fits in the patio area that we have? We could do that with classroom supplies and resources and furniture and things of that sort as well. Some people even do it like, you know, checking out eyewear, for instance, clothing, looking at what shoes would look like on you. So instead of it being something that is just furniture, we really are seeing this immersive experience kind of presented to us in our real world and it all being part like filters. You know, we can have filters on right now, Zoom. I know we're on audio only for the audience, but in our case, being on Zoom, we can actually have filters on that we can represent characters in a book. We can represent different historical figures. We can actually change our landscape and our background, right? And represent different seasons, whatever that might be. We have these augmented reality filters really hitting home on social media, have continued to maintain interest and grow in that process as well.
And I, you know, because I, a lot of times I think about, was it just something for like the filters? Is it just something for fun? But when you talk about like Amazon or Walmart, there's cutting down on returns because you can already see it in your, you know, your space, right? Mm-hmm. I would even imagine it could be, and again, depending on, I guess, looking at the energy it takes to produce AR, it could be almost seen as more environmental because you're not having it shipped to your house and then shipped back, it, you know, and having that all happen. Again, you might have to look at the fuel cost and the carbon footprint of producing AR, but, you know, it could be even seen as being greener to be able to use AR.
Absolutely. I mean, think about even the access to the resources for a classroom teacher to bring in manipulatives. Like that is very costly, but to be able to have all of that for every child, to be able to experience those things right then and there, and for it to be flexible enough to adjust and be modified to fit the needs of that learner, those are things that we can't do with all manipulatives. And we certainly don't have the funds today in our classroom to buy all of those things. Typically, it's coming out of our own pocket. So augmented reality on that side is certainly more beneficial. I would also say, like my nephews this weekend just got a 3D printer for his birthday. And when he got this 3D printer, I started talking about how the filament is extracted and what can happen and how you print it and how you're going to lay that down. And you got to think about things that are going to fall, that filament's going to drop if you're laying it out a certain way. But to have augmented reality actually visualize that 3D object before it ever goes to the prop, through the process of being printed and designed. I think that there's so many different avenues in using augmented reality. I mean, even the filters, Merge actually has a filter on Instagram where you can view your Merge cube. I don't have one here with me, but it comes to life through your screen, you know, through the view of your mobile device. So instead of just looking for me to that item and holding that in my hand, I'm now looking at me with the item and actually seeing the augmented reality. So I did like the skull and I put it over my face and showed that skull around my face in proportion to where those bones would actually be on me. Those types of things that I think, I mean, we just have incredible opportunities with augmented reality. Virtual reality, certainly there too. I think you're going to run into some problems depending on how you're implementing that. But the augmented reality is pretty easy implementation today.
We talked about manipulatives. What are some other uses for, I mean, I guess we could talk about both augmented and virtual reality in a classroom. What grade levels benefit from it? Or subject areas, things like that. So like in a school, you know, where do you see these virtual reality and augmented reality fitting in?
I think it all depends on what they're trying to implement. I've seen it from very young age, even preschool, even before preschool, looking at those all the way through, you know, college and extended into the job force. So I think that we are seeing use cases for both. It's growing. It's certainly growing. There's an interest there, but I agree where it's being marketed to us as funsies, right? And that's not necessarily the truth about the power of this technology when it comes to education, which is why I'm so passionate. I'm passionate about this technology for our learners. And I think that's an untapped market, really. We've only seen a few companies do that well. And those are the ones we all hear about. But really, most are not. Most are startups. They're still trying to figure out how it fits in education. And the opportunities are pretty incredible. Like right behind me right now, I have globes. Those globes all come to life in augmented reality. So as you're looking at the world and understanding these, maybe you're looking at Mars and maybe you're looking at Earth, or maybe you're looking prehistoric. So you're looking at some of the dinosaurs of that time. So as you're going through and experiencing this, you're seeing the location of where these things are found. It could be the bones from those dinosaurs. It could be, you know, different cultural aspects of where what's happening in that culture at that location. It could be historical stuff. It could be future stuff. It could be, you know, where we're placing items, spacecrafts in the and on the moon. It could be anything, really. And what we're able to do is visualize this and bring it into our space that make it feel like we're really experiencing that in real life. It's giving this illusion, and whether or not it is something that is real or digital, it's still making a deeper connection to that content. That flat surface of seeing it in a picture or a video, our brains deal with that differently when it's three-dimensional and we can see it actually in our space, interact with it and encounter it that way.
So those globes on the shelf behind you, they'll match up to a program like on a Chromebook or some type of device?
Yeah, and most of the time AR is through a mobile device or a tablet. So considering that, most Chromebooks, if they do function that way, they're the higher end, which is not typical in schools.
So the globes are an AR device.
Yeah, you use an app.
A VR.
You use augmented reality. It may actually have some virtual reality experiences. For instance, like Merge, a lot of their experiences are augmented reality, but then you also have some of the VR experiences that you can go into if you are that spacecraft. And what does that look like around you as you're looking around as the spacecraft kind of thing? So you have a lot of different interactions on the 360 side, as well as the AR side, that typically are connected. Some really say all AR, some say all 360 or VR. And then you have this collision of both being used depending on the situation.
And then through the program, it would take you through, let's say, the time periods.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. There was actually a while back an app called Erasma. Do you guys ever remember hearing about Erasma? Mm-hmm. So Erasma came around. It was kind of the first time people were seeing augmented reality. You can create your own content. Doesn't exist anymore. Later became HP Reveal. HP just kind of scrapped it and said, we're done with this. There's a lot of other great alternatives today, but essentially what people were doing it for, there was somebody that actually created a timeline and all of those experiences came to life. Using Erasma. So what they did is they added the 3D content, the interactions of video content. And as you went through, you were able to see and all of that come to life. My books, my last book, every image in my book comes to life in augmented reality. So I don't want you to just read about it. I want you to see how this functions. I may even bring in, like I brought in a 3D printed face mask, face shield that you can use. At the time when this book was being made and people were having to use that type of items in the classroom. So I actually placed that 3D object on an image on the book for them to actually see before they ever print it out. So there's things like that, that it's one thing to talk about it. It's one thing for me to even talk about it and write about it. It's another for you as the user to see it firsthand. And that just relates to people in a whole different way.
Joe, what are some of the topics you hit in science this year?
Well, climate change, I think, is a big one. But I haven't looked at the fifth grade stuff yet, but third grade, it was always forces in motion. So pushes and pulls, lots working with gravity, magnetism, weather, and all living things.
Mm-hmm. So, I will say the merge queue is so perfect for your classroom. It covers every single topic you just talked about. There is a lesson for everything. What merge queue used to be is everybody going out and making these different experiences, different developers, some from merge, some outside of merge. And then you had to go find the app that matched, and then you can experience that on the merge queue. And today merge actually has an app called Merge Explorer, where every single concept that you just mentioned, Joe, is literally inside of there. You tap on that lesson. It goes through, has text. It's connected to immersive reader. So it could be read to you in multiple languages and different font types. If you have dyslexia, background color, whatever that might be for that individual learner, it's all connected. It could also be spoken out loud to them. So then they move to the augmented reality experience in the Merge Cube as well. And every single one has an interaction. So not only are you seeing it and holding it in your hand, physically holding the Merge Cube in your hand, physically seeing that item appear in your hand, then you also can interact with each of those items, you know. So every single concept has this experience for students to make these connections to that they really would struggle if you were just talking through it, if you're showing a video about it, if you're looking, reading the text and seeing a flat picture on it. When they're able to interact, they can't do that with a YouTube video. They can't do that with a book. They can't interact and see, what if I do this, what happens? And you do get a chance to do that in these augmented reality experiences. So, and then they even have an assessment to just reaffirm that information and make sure that it's retained and understood correctly. And it's all leveled out. So you can go in for your students to make sure that what content that they should know at that level that they're getting. So that's a really easy implementation too, which is why I like it. I don't like sharing tools that take a long time, cost a lot of money, and require a lot of learning for that classroom teacher to bring in. I like things that could just be used right then and there. You open it up and you got it. And that's definitely one of those tools for that.
So like in a perfect world, how would I set that classroom up? Like if let's say money's not an issue, and I mean, I guess money's always an issue, but our school is, you know, we're able to budget for things. And as teachers, you know, things go out sporadically, I think sometimes in December, right? And then maybe at the end of the year. So we would be able to budget something. So let's say it would be able to be budgeted. How would we set up a classroom to best use all those materials?
Yeah.
And what would the materials be that we would want to have?
Yeah, the Merge Cube itself is pretty inexpensive. They're about $20 a cube retail. They're sold cheaper for education. But I would say the bigger issue is devices. What schools have done is they've extracted out all the mobile devices because they were harder to manage. And they just brought in all these Chromebooks, whether or not that made sense for all those students or not, or whether or not they limited students on what they had access to. And, you know, that was an afterthought. I think it's unfortunate. And I do try to tell people as they're considering what tools and resources they need in the future, having a device available for your classroom, a mobile device, I think that is, for immersive technology, that's essential. Everything I do is on my own phone. So whenever I'm demoing at conferences, or I'm in a school district and I'm supporting the implementation, they're typically getting tablets to be able to bring in some of this technology that's being managed by the district. And I think it's unfortunate that a lot of RT have given up on that. They don't like Apple. They just want to deal with, you know, Chromebooks and PCs, and don't give me an Apple device. But it is a necessity when we're talking about using augmented reality. Now, there's options out there that you can see, but it's far and few between. And if you're using a Chromebook, I typically push more towards what can you do on the 360 realm than I can on the augmented reality side.
Gotcha. So we would possibly write or budget maybe for some iPads.
I would absolutely, if you have any type of foundation, your school foundation or something that you want to get one, get two, you know, if that's possible. They're fairly cheap. They're about $350 when you're talking about the cost. So you get three of those and you have them available maybe at a station, or one per table or something that you're, that my husband's a science teacher. So he's in the same boat. He has merge cubes. He has the iPads that he's just been accruing year after year. and then giving students a chance to really explore. You don't need a ton of merge cubes because you can stamp it. So if I have a device, I can stamp that item, and then I can take the merge cube and I can completely interact with it. Once it's stamped, it's there, and I can interact with the merge cube sitting there. I can change to a new experience. I can do whatever I need to do. As a matter of fact, in the app, you don't even need a merge cube. You can go to worldview mode. But the problem is most people that are looking at this in your case that don't have the devices are limited. They, you know, for the most part, schools have some sort of cart available, or maybe they have a few devices in the library. So there's probably something out there to use. It's just a matter of most people don't have something like that in their classroom.
Right.
And I guess that would be it. Like, you could have a school library maybe with a cart of, you know, or a case of 5 iPads or 10 iPads that teachers could check out. And maybe even it's 10 iPads and 10 merge cubes that mm-hmm. teachers could check out when they want to use them, you know, in their classroom.
This is where I become selfish. I don't want to share. So I'd probably write a grant for my classroom and maybe keep it as, you know, between 3 and 5 devices. Right. Yeah. Because, you know, when I guess, Jamie, like, you're right, you for a small group, I wouldn't want more than 5 kids at a time anyway, as like a station. Right. Moving forward for next year, then, I would write the grant for the iPad. I feel like that would be the expensive part of things. And maybe just smooth it over, say, well, I'll go out and buy the merge cubes because I really think this would be an awesome opportunity. And it almost seems like it would be warranted evidence for the case of letting kids to bring in their own devices, or for the case for devices in school, because they all have them. Here's a case in point where how they could be used effectively in the classroom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And especially merge works on even older devices. So even if, which most students, like you said, they have newer devices. My daughter is 13, has a newer phone than I do. And I use it for, you know, doing the work that I do. Like, I have to have the latest and greatest. I'll upgrade this year. But it's like, you know, it's true. Our kids have the latest and greatest technologies, and we're not allowing them to use that technology in the classroom. This is a perfect example. If they were able to open up the Merge app and actually experience that, it's a game changer. As a matter of fact, I believe in it so much, I'm going to end up just following up with you about some of the experiences that you can have in there. I don't know when's the last time you've checked it out, but it has had some major upgrades. It's pretty cool.
Probably 2 or 3 years ago. I mean, I've had a merge cube sitting. I always have great kids, but this one little girl in particular this year was my maker girl. And like any maker project we did, or, you know, even when we weren't making in the classroom, she was always wondering, can I go here and try this? Can I jump into the maker bin? I got an idea. I texted her mom and said, hey, listen, I got this merge cube. I haven't been using it. I bet you she would rock with it. She was like, listen, if you want to send it home, Ron, you know where I got it, Ron? The last Rewire we went to.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, I won it somehow, some way. So it went home with her because we didn't have devices, and it kind of got old using my phone to go around it. Like it just wasn't one merge cube in my phone wasn't working for the class. But you know, the solar systems that we brought up, the sun that we brought up, and now moving to 5th grade. Yeah. I just feel like it is, maybe it's the time to say, listen, this is why I need 5 iPads. this is what I'm going to do with things.
It's true. It's an easy way of convincing your admin that why that kind of item is needed, and getting started with the merge cube is very visually effective. I don't see a problem when people see that experience as an admin and say, oh, this is spot on. This covers exactly the standard we need to cover. This gives them exactly the experiences they need to have, gives them the content in alignment with your curriculum already. And so it's very easy to make the case in science, for sure. It's called the Merge Explorer app.
Okay.
But on the other side of it is, once you have those devices, that's when I really get excited to share out all the crazy awesome things that you can do with that. So every year I do 2 different things. I do a 31 days of AR, VR, and EDU, which is every day in March. I have a blog that comes out that shows you all the updates and brand new resources coming out in AR and VR. And I've done that now 3 years. And if you think about it, like every time I'm building, you know, 31 different resources on my blog of those of what is going out there. And then in December, I have an event that is more thematic of how I'm bringing in immersive technology. My first year, I did more of like holidays because it's in December and how can you implement this during the season? And then last year I focused on Merge Cube, and every single day in that, it's my advent calendar of merge experiences using augmented reality. And every day I'm showing different ways that you can use that. And then this coming December, I'm going to do STEM. So looking at how STEM is applicable throughout AR and VR. But here's the thing. Do you know how many different resources are on my blog? How much is out there? It's overwhelming how many resources our classrooms have. And you probably know of one thing, Merge. And I think that's the part that it's like, once you have the tool, the device, like there is just nothing stopping you from being able to implement this incredible technology for your students. It's really powerful.
So I know, like, I guess when I first started looking at AR and VR stuff, like, 5 years ago, like Google Expeditions, right? Like people would buy like this gigantic plastic case with all the headsets, and the teacher would have like a tablet, I think, and they could move everybody in the same direction on their device. And like, that's what I know. And it just seemed just beyond expensive for, you know, someone to implement. And that was more virtual reality, I would think, right?
It is. Okay. So yeah, although they had AR experiences that they can do with certain devices, I don't know how many actually did that. I will tell you that I am not the biggest fan of the Expeditions kit. I wasn't right from the get-go because of the cost. They're off-brand Android devices. How they justified that cost, they brought in a router. Basically, this is what happened with schools. We're going to buy this kit. We saw it at a conference. It worked great. Then we're going to get it over to our network, IT and admin, and they're going to go back and say, this is not connecting. This is not staying connected. We have to go and troubleshoot this all the time. And then you have somebody managing these devices because they're managing the calendar of where it's going to go in your district. They're managing cleaning them. They're managing the training of the teachers and how to implement this. So you literally take an instructional technologist and move them into a role of managing a cart. Plus the cost is, you know, $10,000 at the time, the first time they released an amount. I was at ISTE in Denver that year and I nearly fell out of my bed. I was like, what are they thinking? Like $10,000? Like that's the most outrageous thing I've ever heard for what you're getting, right? So when you look at all of that and you understand, do I need to have 30 kids all on at the same time? They're looking around. Are they getting up? Are they experiencing this? Are they just being dictated what the teacher wants them to see? Why not do that on YouTube? Why do I need to see that in a 360? If your teacher's saying this is where you need to look and this is where you need to interact. The whole point of being in these immersive experiences is to make it personalized. So I think that there are just a lot of cringy aspects of Google Expeditions that I've never enjoyed. But I've never been an advocate. Now, fast forward to today, Google Expeditions turned off their app. So Google shut down Google Expeditions, and everybody's now contacting me saying, what do I do with these devices? I'm like, well, you shouldn't have bought them to begin with. I hate that people were buying these, but they had a big market out there. They had a lot of voice. Google, really Best Buy was the one pushing it. But, you know, you had this great marketing done, and, you know, people liked being able to dictate exactly what those kids are going to experience and how they're going to experience it. They liked reading a script. Right? Like all of those things that teachers just crave for. And I think it defeats the whole purpose of having these immersive experiences. I think there could be a way to use it, but I think we overused it and I think overly paid and underestimated the resources it was going to pull from the district. But I think that there are so many other great things. Plus, you know, you're Google. This is the best you got. Like that, it's a watered down version of virtual reality for schools. Like, let's bring it. Let's bring the best to our students. Let's not bring down, you know, to the bare minimum of just looking around. I just think that there's so many other things that we could be doing within even virtual reality. And I will say, it shouldn't be for our young students. So there are so many factors, falls, safety, kids having seizures, feeling sick, you know, not focused on what they need to be learning. There's just so many aspects, because how do I manage this? How do I understand what they're on? I tend to, it's very unlikely I recommend VR for schools. If I ever recommend it, it's per teacher basis, and it is very niche. It's very focused on how they're going to use it. And it's certainly not with an expeditions kit. It's going to be with different technology that offer a better library of resources.
So when you talk about, when you're talking about VR in that sense, you're talking about VR with like the headsets and all that, because you can do VR on the, on a computer screen that may be more appropriate.
Which is not expeditions.
Right. Which is not it. Right.
Yeah. So, they've released something newer, the Expeditions Pro or something to that effect. It's very expensive, but again, goes back to the fact that these kits, are a big fat mess, and they have been, and people love them. Don't get me wrong. I'm the outlier. People love those expedition kits, but I just look at it holistically, and implementing that into education just gets really messy.
Well, I think that the headsets just become like a flashy thing that it's like, oh, we have the headset, you know, and I'm definitely a person who like gets motion sick, like on a merry-go-round even. Mm-hmm. Right. So I'm like, if I put one of them on, am I going to get sick?
I've played them before. I can't. I've done it once through PlayStation, and I get sick. I don't think I had it on for over 30 seconds, and just my equilibrium was like, no way. And I popped them off. I'm like, no thanks. I can't.
Yeah.
Not my thing.
And they've gotten better in time. Really, what's happening in a lot of these is how quickly you move, and how quickly that experience moves with your movement. If there's any type of lag, it's like getting motion sickness very quickly. And you know, there is always going to be a lag, but how much of a lag, it depends. And your brain knows it. It knows how much of a lag there is.
So maybe being like jittery and excitable isn't the best for that first time experience.
It's just showing you the quality of that experience, depending on when you experienced that, probably early version of the PlayStation VR that they brought out. That is not going to be as high of quality as maybe what the Oculus Quest 2 came out with. So people can experience it definitely to a greater level. There's just a lot of caution with that too. I mean, you're putting it around your ears, nose, mouth, eyes, holding it with your hands, your hair, like every bad thing about hygiene for students. And you're passing it from student to student. It's like they didn't even plan to clean it. It's just a lot of factors that have to be worked out, and it's possible and it could be amazing, but most people go into it without ever considering those things. And then they are like, you know, oh my gosh, I just gave everybody in my class pink eye. Yeah, you did. No, but you know, it's those types of things that we really, it's an afterthought. And I think that we need to have a better plan of action. And sometimes using AR and VR is not the right choice for what you really need. And that's the biggest problem I face, is that people are ready to jump in head first. Like you gave me, Joe, very specific things that your students need to learn. That is so easy to be able to make recommendations from. When I am given, hey, we just want to do VR. Why?
Right.
Well, because it's
the right. What's the end goal, right? Do you want to be hip with education, or is there something specific you want done?
Yeah. And they're like, which viewer do I buy? What devices do you have? We need devices. So, okay. If you're having standalone, which standalone? Well, how are you going to manage that? There's really not any great management options there. So you're just going to let kids get on. Oh, whose Facebook account are you using, or Meta account? So you start going through like all of the criteria of actually implementing some of this stuff. And then it's like, oh, what am I getting myself into? So I think when you can identify clearly what you're looking for I think AR and VR has a lot of application for sure, but it doesn't mean it's hitting home for everything. There could be things that it adds to, that it enhances, and sometimes just completely covers that concept altogether. But it really depends on what that goal is at the end. And most people have not thought through that. So when I talk to an administrator or an IT, they're like, this is what we want to do. Okay, let's talk through this. Why do you want to do this? What are your goals? What is success to you at the end? You know, what is going to show success? And then they always have to leave, come back with those thoughts because they have to go back and really think through and research. And then when they come back through and then they say, this is exactly what we want. Sometimes I'm like, yeah, AR, VR is not going to be the road for this, but hey, there's this other option. Then I can say, you know, you're making something fit, this technology fit for your standards, instead of starting with your standard, identifying what those students need and where they're struggling, and then picking the right tool to match that need.
What are some, because I've heard of, what is it, CoSpace?
CoSpaces, yeah.
Is that a VR?
AR and VR.
Okay. I was always thinking, like I've done a tiny house project where students design a tiny house in Tinkercad.
Yeah.
And we 3D print a model of the tiny house.
Yeah.
I was always thinking like bringing that into CoSpace where they could actually see inside the house a little bit would be an interesting
thing,
because they could build the landscape around it and, you know, really kind of immerse themselves in their tiny house.
So I like that idea. I will say you're never going to take that file and CoSpaces and 3D print. However, if you're starting in Tinkercad and you're building it, you can actually export that file into Merge Object Viewer, and you can see in the Merge Cube your item.
Oh, wow.
Print it. And then on top of that, you can actually place it, that object, on your floor and then make it large, and they can walk into the level of the Wi-Fi. It's so cool.
With the Merge Cube.
Yeah, wow. Merge Object Viewer. Mm-hmm.
That's pretty awesome.
I actually did a technology called LiDAR, where it is using my camera on my mobile device. And what it does is it's sending that light and detecting the distance something is away, far away. It's a brand new technology that's come out on specific iPhone and iPad devices. And so I scanned using LiDAR technology. I scanned my dog, my Pomeranian dog, and then I exported that scan into the Merge Object Viewer, and then I can hold my dog
on
my hand, and I can 3D print it, you know? So once I have that file format, I can 3D print my Pomeranian dog. So it's just a wild concept with what we have available to us today. And to think that is, that's the direction we're going, that we don't have to have all of these. Like, my brother actually works in a field where he does LiDAR scanning. He goes in and it looks like an oval, and it spins and it snaps and it captures photos all around the room on a tripod. And what he does is, right now they're working with Starbucks a lot, their company. So he's going in and going to these rental locations in airports or hotels. Starbucks is identifying where they want to have different, you know, store locations, and they want them to go in and do all of the LiDAR scanning, the blueprint in 3D, if you will, right? So it's taking and capturing everything in that room, that scan, and then it's exporting it out to Starbucks. It shows where all their plumbing is going to be, all the electrical, where the drops would be, everything in that space. Down to every last measurement of that space. Everything is even, you know, able to be scanned as far as like, what is the length of that wall? All of those factors are all taken in with LiDAR scanning. And so my brother actually does that with a $30,000 scanner. I have it on my iPhone 12 Pro on my camera, LiDAR technology, that I can walk around a room, I can scan it, and I can export that out to a blueprint, to AutoCAD, you know, whatever I want that CAD file to be, or even blueprinting a whole, you know, capturing a whole house and literally walking into that house. So I can then take those files and I can convert it into augmented reality for us to walk through. I can even convert that into those blueprints of mapping it out, understanding measurements, and even convert that into 3D printing for whatever I want. So all done with AR and VR, which is super cool.
Wow. So you talked earlier about, you know, you have your blog and you talk about all this amazing stuff that can be out there. I remember when I first got the first iPhone, when I got my smartphone, thinking like, I'm going to do so much cool stuff with it. There's all these apps out there. And I did nothing because I had no clue what you could possibly do. And now it's like we talk about the 21st, the digital skills, right? The things that are out there that they should be learning about that are going to cause them to be successful in their life. I think this is it. Cause then they start thinking, hey, what about this? Or can I get this in there? I mean, you're talking, I'm like, man, so I could take that LiDAR on my phone, which is now why I want to get a better iPhone scan my favorite surfboard, put it over to a CAD file, and then mass produce that surfboard over and over again.
Yeah, or you can put it in an STL file, you can put an object file, you know, there's a lot of different file formats that you can export it out as. Lots of different scanners out there on the apps that you can download. There's actually now, you can do this today, Joe, more than likely. Do you have an iPhone?
Yes.
So
iPhone 8.
Okay. So one thing that you can test out is download the Polycam, PolyCam app. You can download that app and you can move from the LiDAR technology, which is really made for the iPad Pro Max and above pros, and then iPad Pros, the last few versions of that, which not everybody has, right? So it's coming. It's such a incredible, expensive technology that it's really only put on those higher level devices. So when people are wanting to bring in something like this, I'm like, get one pro for your classroom, have that one pro and buy the rest iPads. That way you can do all the great stuff, but you have one that can do the LiDAR scanning. So what you can do now is you can transition from LiDAR technology to photogrammetry. They call it photo scanning. And what you do is you take your device and you walk around an object and you capture at minimum 30 different images. More is better. And then the technology actually takes it all and converts it into a 3D object based upon your photos. It is flipping awesome. So I will tell you that the photogrammetry is actually picking up for those that don't have access to LiDAR technology. It may not be as great. Sometimes it's pretty equal depending on the application. Sometimes you export it out and it's like, wow, this is amazing. It really depends. You want solid items. So you don't want something very small, like branches on a tree. It only gets the larger size branches. As it starts to get smaller, it has a hard time with that. The lighting in the room is important, but yes, you can actually do that today. You can go get capture of that surfboard. Now, how much you're going to pay to mass produce that is a whole different question, but.
Right. Well, I'm thinking like there's just so much going on. Even like the 3D, I print out these prints and I trace them on wood. So like, there's so much going on that my mind's racing with all this stuff.
Yeah.
And it's not all dealing with school, but just the technology that's out there and the things you can do. And that's like, you bring those experiences in and show them what they can do. That's where I think things really take off.
Well, Joe, and I think you brought up a good point. It's not all related to school, but how much more important is it for us to get our students prepared with these skills?
Right.
This is their future that they're going to have. So I have something break on my air conditioning unit. And there's a piece that I need, but I have to order it and it's going to take weeks. What if I take that piece and I 3D scan it with LiDAR technology and I 3D print that piece and I have it available to me now? Those types of concepts that we are really approaching now and not being limited to having to go and purchase those products or get that specific item, concepts like that, that we actually need to have access to today, that's mind blowing. I have a friend, Dr. Webb, that it was a former professor at University of Alaska. And he used to teach how to use Unity and, you know, build Unity creations for students, which right now is what a lot of our VR has been created in. So you have this basic concept, knowledge and understanding how to apply this. Well, then he started getting calls from his local area Aviation's big, so they were calling about like different ways to use VR in aviation. And then he got a call about bears in the state of Alaska. Bear being outdoors and working outdoors, you have to have proper training to handle bear attacks. So he was given this objective to come up with some sort of simulation. He made it a simulation of a bear attack. And that simulation was something that he built to help reduce costs for the company, because they had to send somebody out from the States to go out to Alaska and say, okay, this is how you deal with the bear. This is what you watch out for all day. Oh, let's go outside. Here's the bear spray. Show me how you would open it up. And when you'd spray it, you go back in the classroom. Here's your certificate. You're good to go. And then he said, it never fails. Every person I put on that simulation for the bear attack, every single person dies. It's like all of them die. They all get killed and mauled by that bear. So what was, you know, what, and all of them, by the way, had already went through that classroom instruction of it too. So when you get somebody that has not, you know, that kind of understanding, that book knowledge, if you will, doesn't necessarily give you the experiences you need to be able to be effective, to be safe, to get the job done in a way that's going to keep products safe. All of those factors, right? So he said everybody would just like close up, go down.
Yeah.
Have people freak out. You'd have people run. Headset goes down. your body, even though you know it's VR, you still respond. And I think the powerful thing about that is that he took something like that. And he said in time, as they practice and as they got, they first started spraying the bear spray. It was too early and it didn't affect the bear. It was too late and the bear's already on you. It didn't affect the bear. They had to learn when to time that bear spray accurately to actually maximize the impact. All of those factors that you can't do through a book, through a video, through walking outside and talking about bear spray. These are the types of experiences our students are leaning into. So as they get into training in industries, as they get into learning how to actually use these products in a future career or in life in general, these are the skill sets that our students need to be equipped with.
Well, yeah, I start thinking the way you get better at surfing is by going out and surfing. You can work out in a gym. You can try and mimic that. You know, there's balance trainers, there's so much out there, but it's nothing like being in the water. Have, you know, there's so much that comes to it. I would say it's even, you know, you can read about a bear attack in your cozy warm house, or, you know, in a classroom where everything's safe, because you're not going to do it with a bear around, because that would just be silly. So yeah, that virtual reality, I can't even watch a video of a guy jumping out of an airplane on YouTube, like those first, because I start to feel it. Like my blood starts, I get a little warm, you know, it's
EBGBs.
I heights aren't my thing. So Eve, I mean, that's real life experience. Mm-hmm. And I would feel like you wouldn't want to screw that up in real world. So you would want to do it as many times as you possibly can in that safe environment. So when it does happen for real, it's, maybe by that point it is muscle memory.
Yeah.
Well, or it's not the first time a bear is charging at you.
And so there's
other about you.
Right. And that's one example. Since then, he's been able to help people understand how to use like heavy machinery so that they're not injuring themselves or injuring, you know, breaking products that are very costly. You know, he's even working with Department of Defense, like they're coming in and having them scan certain ships to get people prepared for when they're going out to sea and how to use specific equipment. There's just so many. I mean, I even understanding culturally, like he's done scans for the museum and brought that into practice for them to really experience what life was like, or specific different types of Indians that are living in that area, what they're, you know, culturally, what they're experiencing, what their land is like, what types of activities that they have over there. So, and I'm American Indian, by the way, in Choctaw, Oklahoma, not in Alaska, but I appreciate the fact that they are wanting to bring those experiences to others that may not understand it. And so there's an awareness, there's training, there's skills being built, all of those things that are happening using this kind of technology.
Well, I think even when you introduce it to students now, they're the ones who are going to push it beyond in the future to things that we haven't even thought of. It could do this, mm-hmm. right? So, you know, we're setting up the people who are going to push it to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to introduce it to them in order for that to happen.
Yeah. It's uncomfortable, right? It's a technology that not all of us have jumped into and ready to jump into. Those are the very unusual group of educators. Those people, though, can bring it back to the teachers. So the train the trainer type concept. But really, what we need to understand is it's not about us. It's about them and getting them prepared for the technical skills that they're going to need, the foundational skills like building in Tinkercad, understanding 3D concepts. Those are some foundational things. As a matter of fact, there's nothing you can do in AR and VR without assets, without those objects.
Right.
It's nothing. You don't have any experience. So having those basic skills are really essential for our students as they move forward in this technology.
So I guess, I mean, kind of jumping off of that, where you were saying like it is kind of overwhelming to someone. Mm-hmm. If someone listening says, you know what, I get it. Like I want to jump in here. Where are the places where you say, here's where you start with AR, here maybe where you start with VR. And again, I know you talked about what is your end goal, right? Like, so that's important. But like what technologies, where would people start?
Yeah, that's so, I think that's the benefit of the blog. There's I can spend a week with the school district helping them implement. There's no way I can cover everything in my books or cover everything in my blogs. There's a lot more detail there. So having spent the time to invest, I have over 200 different blogs on these different resources out there for the classroom, and it's all targeted to those tools. So if I'm saying, hey, go check out Polycam on my blog. Not only does it tell you exactly the use cases of why this is going to be important for a classroom, but it also does a walkthrough video showing you, as well as step-by-step instructions in there. So as you're going through and understanding my blog, arvrandedu.com, I completely free, available to everyone and anyone at any time. I just love the fact that these resources are something I can consistently point back to. There's so many else out there. That's just one example, but that, you know, you can go and find the resources. I'm speaking as I would be speaking to a classroom teacher. You know, why is this something that nobody has ever touched before that they can then finish that blog and feel confident to test out and try in their classroom? That's my goal.
So it's
arvrandedu.com.
What about on social media? Where can people follow you there? Because I know you post stuff as well.
Yeah. So I'm on most social channels. I don't always post on all social channels. I'd say Twitter and LinkedIn are probably my most active channels. But Jamie Donnelly is the name, is what I'm labeled as in all my social channels. But my name is spelled really funky. So for my first and last name, if you spell it correctly, you'll find me. It's JAIMEDONALLY. So if you spell that correctly, you pretty much can find me on most social channels. I mean, I'm on Snapchat. I try to stay current with TikToks and, you know, all that. No, I'm not cool like that, but I am on them. I just don't use them like I really should be using them. But, probably Twitter and LinkedIn are where I'm most active.
It's hard to be on all, you know what I mean? Like to be active on everything. There's not enough hours in the day.
Not only be active, but I feel relevant because it seems like each different platform, you have to do something different. Like, yeah, I don't think anything.
Skill set.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think anything like one shtick or one thing or one post can translate evenly, or I don't even know how to talk about it, but I don't think, I would think each thing needs its own, each platform needs its own shtick. There we go.
It's like its own specialty.
Yeah.
Each platform. Yeah. Jay, Joe, I don't know if you have anything else, but this is awesome.
I'm looking forward to bringing everything in for fifth grade. But, you know, today I'm definitely going to, besides my ice cream
and a surfboard.
Polycam's Polycam's my, the second part of my day today after my ice cream research. Because I haven't forgotten about that. That's still festering.
Oh, I understand. Again, I don't know what I'm talking about when it comes to ice cream for sure. But I will say that, you know, immersive technology is always growing. It's always changing. Nobody knows everything. And building up a community of people that you can connect with and ask questions for are just amazing. So hashtag ARVRINEDU is also used across all social channels with a lot of different people. So getting connected to a community and just understanding how this technology can be used with your particular students, I think is really powerful.
And is everything, you know, all your contact information and all on your website as well?
Yes. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. But Jimmy, thank you so much for joining us, taking the time, taking your morning. It's been great.
No, I appreciate it. It was super cool. Thank you, guys. Teacher nerds knocking on your door. Open up, let's take your teaching further than before. Give it a try. Don't be shy. There's nothing there to lose. Worst thing that happens, kids get pain on their shoes. We're talking teacher nerds. I'm talking teacher.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Teacher Nerds Podcast. Keep up with every new episode by subscribing on Apple Podcast, Spotify, Google Podcast, Anchor, or anywhere you listen. When you subscribe, be sure to give us a review and tell a friend. Visit us at teachernerds.com. Follow us on Twitter at Teacher Nerds, on Instagram at Teacher Nerds Podcast, or email us, teachernerds@gmail.com. And remember, we're nerds with a Z. Most importantly, thank you for listening and becoming one of the Teacher Nerds.